Blog.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy.
Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. But it don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise God. Welcome to Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so glad you could join us on tonight, Friday, October 14th. To our listening audience, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you were able to tune in last Friday when we were speaking. We had Brother Ramirez on the program, and he was just giving his testimony how God had delivered him out of the kingdom of darkness. Tonight we will be speaking on destroying strongholds. And I think this would be in a timely manner because a lot of times people don't realize, but we are in two different kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God. We have the kingdom of darkness. So tonight we will be speaking on how to break free from demonic strongholds, strongholds that have you bound up, and God wants to see his people set free and delivered. I wanted to just bring out, what is a demonic stronghold? First of all, If you remember, some time ago, we spoke about how a stronghold is like a, when you're pulling it down, it's like a castle, a fortress. And if you can imagine an army, well, this is how the demon set up his attacks. He said he's very organized. So he have his foot soldiers as well as his higher ranking officers. So this is how he gained interest. And I brought out to you about Joshua, how when God told him to march around the city seven times, and on the seventh time blow the trumpet and the walls would fall down. Well, tonight we don't have a trumpet, but we have our voices, and our voices can go up as praises to God. So when we shout the victory, then the demonic strongholds will fall down. And we will be covering a lot of things, how demonic strongholds enter into people. We know that they have to have an opening, or they have to have access to come in. And we know that they are rebellious, so literally we have to just kick them out, because demons just don't go. We have to kick them out. We have to deliver or set free. So I wanted to bring out what is a stronghold. A stronghold, like I said, is like a fortress, and the devil, he will build it and build it and build it. If you can think about the Jericho wall, I said the walls were somewhere in the access of maybe 15 to 20 feet thick. And if you can imagine that, that is a thick wall. So over the years, people build up different demonic strongholds in their lives. And usually, you know, sometimes when they're not so bad, you can kind of just, you know, speak the word of God and they'll just come out. But when you build up these strongholds year after year after year, sometimes, not all the time, but you will need some deliverance. You will need help. And that's what the deliverance ministries are here for. They're here to assist you, to help you, to teach you, to keep you victorious in your walk with Christ Jesus. I wanted to read a couple of scriptures out of Joshua. Joshua, I'm coming out of the New King James Version. This is Joshua 6:6. It says, "Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord.'" Joshua 16:15. "But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpet, then Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" And I want you to say that tonight. I want you to say, "I'm going to shout because I know God has given me the victory over all these unclean demonic forces. I will no longer be held captive. I will no longer be a slave to sin." And when you look at Isaiah 61, I want to read this out of Isaiah, because, see, this was prophesied out of Isaiah, and then it was over 700 years later, it was prophesied again. But he said, this is what Jesus came to do. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Now think about that fortress. Think about when you go to war, what the enemy do. They try to get prisoners of war. They'll try to hold you captive. So this is what the enemy is. Now think, we're at a real war here. We have two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God. We have the kingdom of the enemy. So now I want to go over into Luke. Like I said, it was prophesied. Here it is again. This is what Jesus came to do. So we have no reason that we should be walking bound up, because Jesus already came to set the captives free. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Okay, this is in Luke. Now, I just read that in Isaiah. 700 years later, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to recovery of sight to the blind. And that could be natural blind, and it can be spiritual blindness, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And if you want to, when I looked up the word bind, this is what it means to be bound up. So if you bound up, if you're captive, it means to wrap firmly, to compress or saddle, to stop, to rule. You see what I'm saying? So if he have you bound up, this is why you can't break free. So God said he came to set the captives free. Captives, prisoner. He came to break that yoke, break that chain that the devil has bound on you. Deliverance, that's where the deliverance come in, is freedom. He's going to break you free. That's why we have deliverance ministries, to help you break free of the demonic forces that held people captive. God do not want to see his people bound up. The only way you're going to break free of that is by studying the word, walking in the word. But the first thing, before any deliverance minister, we do deliverance, we ask that person, do you know Christ? Have you been born again? And we will take you through the sinner's prayer. You will confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you. Then once you confess your sins, then we can start the process of kicking these things out. And some of us need to just do like, you know, when the strong man, he comes to your house, he'll build up in your house. What you need to do is do some evacuation. You need to serve him an eviction notice tonight and say, tonight, you getting out of my house, because I am not going to live with you, you unclean spirit. And this is how you have to take that authority. Jesus has already given us the authority. All we need to do is walk in the authority that Christ has given us, because he doesn't want to see his children bound up. He came, he shed his blood on the cross so that we could walk in freeness and forgiveness. And I had these scriptures I wanted to read to you. Okay, remember when the lady, when her daughter in the Bible was, he says, sorely vexed with the devil. It says, from there he rose and he went to the region. This is in Luke 11:24-26. Talking about an unclean spirit. This lady, her daughter, was vexed with the devil. He said, from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Why? Because the word had got out that Jesus, he's coming. He's setting the people free. He's setting the captives free. So word had got out throughout the whole region. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. That means she was a Gentile by birth. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat the crumbs, the children's crumbs. So this lady was persistent. She wouldn't just say, I'm offended. Well, he offended me by calling me a dog. She was going to stay there and do whatever she needed to do to get her daughter set free. And this is how we need to be at, when we're seeking God for our deliverance. Lord, whatever it takes. If it means pushing some things aside, if it means sacrifice, putting myself up on the altar, my fleshly desires, putting them on the altar before you, I will do whatever it takes so I can be set free of this evil spirit. Now, there's another verse here I wanted to read. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So this is what the Lord is saying. Tonight, when we get your house cleaned up, don't go back to the very thing that had you bound up. Ask God, and we're going to pray that God give you strength so you can turn from that unclean thing. Because like he said in the word, if you go back to that thing, see, Satan is waiting. He's just waiting for you to go back out there so he can bring seven of his buddies and say, come on, let's go on and sit back in our house. See how he said my house. He's been there so long that he has claimed ownership. He don't look at it. He don't say it's your house. He say, this is my house. So this is why we got to do an eviction notice and kick them out of our house. That your house is the temple of God. It doesn't belong to him. So we're kicking him out. And then Colossians 1:13, it says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness? He has translated us into the kingdom of his. Translated in the Greek means he removed you from the kingdom of darkness. He carried you away from the kingdom of darkness. So don't go trying to put one foot in God's kingdom and one foot in the devil's kingdom. Because in doing that, you're going to open yourself up for some demonic strongholds. Now, I wanted to bring out, here are some biblical terms that describe demonic strongholds. I just read to you powers of darkness. That was in Colossians 1:13. There's dominions of iniquity and sin. When you're willfully doing sin, you're willfully doing it. Like people say, well, we all have sin. But when you're just willfully doing it, you open the doors for demonic strongholds. There are works of the flesh. That's found in Galatians 5:19-21. Works of unrighteousness, Romans 1:29. Idolatry, which is equated with demon worship. And a couple of weeks ago, we had brought out on idolatry, anything that you put before God. It can be something as we say simple, but it could be like sports. It can be anything that we put before God. So we don't want to get caught up in idol worship or, you know, witchcraft or tarot card reading, anything like that. You opening doors for demonic strongholds. And then it's the power of the air. These are some more demonic forces, strongholds. That's found in Ephesians 2:2. There's a spirit of disobedience. When you're willfully sinning, you're walking in a spirit of disobedience. Because God called his children, he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So when you're walking in willful sin, and you're saying, well, you know, it doesn't matter, I can walk the way I want to walk, you're in disobedience, and you're opening the door for demonic strongholds. Then he said, imaginations. These are reasonings which are hostile to the Christian faith and would include ideologies, philosophical teachings such as evolution, communism, Islam, things like that. So when you get caught up in all that, you're opening yourself up for demonic attacks, demonic strongholds. God wants us to be set free. And at this time, I just wanted to bring that out. We will be covering it in more depth. Brother Bobby Montgomery will be coming forth. He will be bringing the word of God. And at the end of the program, we will be opening the phone lines. And you can call in if you have any questions or you have any comments. Just feel free to call in. But tonight, saints, God just wants us to walk in holiness. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be set free because he doesn't want to see any of his children bound up. So tonight we're going to take authority over that, the authority that God has given us. We're going to break these strongholds, and we're going to walk in our victory. Amen. So like I said, if you want to call in, you can call in on our call-in number. It's 323-375-0849. Be sure to press the number 1 so we'll know that you're in the room and we can pull you in if you have a question. At this time, and he will be bringing forth the word of God. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We want to thank the Lord for Sister Montgomery, as she brought out various words in reference to destroying strongholds, and we're going to go a little bit further than that. She had given a definition to a stronghold in reference to a fortress, a place where Our soldiers can have rest. Our soldiers would retreat, or they would have their abode there in time of, and when there's time, when the time comes for them to depart and go to war, they will go out of that fortress, which is it's a stronghold, it's a fortress that is made for protection for the soldiers. So we have that same area in the realm of the spirit. When you're talking about demonic strongholds, they are in a place where they can rest or have safety. In other words, they want to stay in that fortress. They don't want to come out. Now, they will come out in the name of Jesus Christ, but they don't want to because that is where they can manifest themselves. Now, there's another meaning for the word stronghold, and that is in reference to your mind. And what that is, it's a faulty thinking pattern that's based on lies and deception. Deception is one of the primary weapons of the devil because it is the building blocks for a stronghold. What strongholds can do is cause us to think in ways which block us from God's best. For example, if you think you have to confess all your sins to everybody you've ever wronged, you'll feel just awful and guilty until you do all that. And even then, you'll probably feel guilty because you probably forgot many people that you didn't confess your sins to. This is unnecessary. It's a waste of time because you were deceived and thought you had to do something that you really didn't have to do. So that's basically what a stronghold is. It's a fortress, but it is also a fortress of your mind that is built up by foul and demonic spirits to keep you bound. And that's what we're coming against tonight in our teachings. Now, we have several different scriptures that we're going to tonight, and then we're going to go back to some various examples of strongholds at work and destructive and common strongholds. We're going to read down through that, and we're going to deal with how to tear down strongholds, because that's what we're dealing with tonight. And I know the question might be, well, how can various Christians and believers have strongholds in their life? Well, as I said previously, it is a condition of the mind. If the enemy can have control of your mind, he will have control of you. Because once he has control of your mind, then he will have control of your heart. And when he has control of your heart, then he can control you in certain ways. Now, you still may have a relationship with the Lord. You still may be saved. You may even be filled with the Spirit. But you would have strongholds in certain areas of your life that need to be broken. Now, by the very meaning of the word stronghold, a stronghold would indicate that it is something that you can't handle yourself. Therefore, you need help in that. Now, you can receive help mainly through Jesus Christ and through other brothers and sisters in Christ that can pray with you and come against that spirit that has you bound. And you can do that. You can do that through your own will. You have, see, some things you have to will. You have to use your will also against the enemy. You have to use the word of God against these strongholds in faith in Christ Jesus. And they will break, but you have to believe it, and you have to stand on it. You have to have faith. If you have a stronghold in your life of alcoholism or some type of drug or something, and you go to the Lord and you get saved, you repent, you get saved, and many times the Lord can just break that thing right away. He just break it right away, and it's gone. That has happened to many individuals. They come to the Lord, repent, get saved, get filled with the Spirit, and whatever thing that the Spirit, that God, that the enemy, the devil, had on them, was torturing them or influencing them to do, God just breaks it right away. But sometimes when a person comes to the Lord, he kind of gives himself halfway to the Lord. He repents, he accepts the Lord as salvation, but he wants to hold on to something. And when you hold on to something, then that's a stronghold. It needs to be broken. And you have to surrender your will, your mind, your body, and your soul to Jesus Christ, and you have to use your will against the enemy and not agree with what the enemy is telling you. An example, you might have a drug addiction, you might have an alcohol addiction, you might have a sexual addiction. If you have any of these addictions and you come to the Lord and the Lord saves you and fills you and you get delivered from that thing, you're truly delivered. You are. But that's not going to keep the devil or the enemy or that same spirit from coming back to your mind and trying to convince you that you haven't been delivered. And why is he trying to convince you of this? Because you have been delivered. And he's been cast out, but he wants to come back. So he will talk to your mind. Now you weren't set free. Why are you still feeling like this? Why are you still thinking about this? Why this and why that? No, you have to use your will against the devil, against these foul spirits, and plead the blood of Jesus and rebuke them in the name of Jesus, because the Lord Jesus has given you the authority and the power to speak against those spirits. And you have to keep speaking it until those desires are gone. Now, I'm going to come to you reading out of 2 Corinthians 10, Ephesians 6, and Galatians 5. Now, in 2 Corinthians 10, it reads, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Now, this is a war. And one thing I would like to say, mankind is in a war, against the devil regardless. Now, you say, well, if I don't mess with him, he won't mess with me. No. He wants to destroy you regardless if you're saved or unsaved. So if you're saved, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you have the power and the anointing of the Lord in and through your life, and you can effectively fight against the devil and cast him off of you, wherein a person who is not saved and doesn't have any kind of relationship to God and Christ, then he's like food for the devil. The devil can do anything he wants to with somebody who is not saved. He can do anything he wants to, because the devil's main goal is to destroy man and separate man from God. That's the devil's and demons' main goal, to destroy man, separate man from God, torment men, torture men, lie to men, destroy men, whatever negative thing is out there. That's what the devil has for mankind. So any way you look at it, saved or unsaved, the devil hates men and women, all humankind. He hates, he wants to destroy them, he wants to kill them. That's it. That's all to it. That's all the devil wants to do. That's all. That's all. But as I said previously, you have protection in Christ Jesus. You have victory in Christ Jesus. Everything you need for strength and protection and for health and strength is in Christ Jesus against the devil. All right. With that being established, I want you to realize that we're in a war, and the war is going on regardless of your mindset. And it says, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So you see, we're in a war, but the battle is already won through Christ Jesus. But this war is started in your mind. It's in your mind. The devil seeks to come into your mind and lie to you and tell you how you don't have the victory, and tell you how you can't overcome, and tell you how he has the power. But he doesn't have the power, and he hasn't won the victory. Jesus Christ has already won the victory. And he's given you, through his word, the instructions to continue to fight and defeat the enemy in your life. He tells us, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's simple. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of who? Not you, but unto the obedience of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's simple. He said, you might be saying, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do it because Christ has already given you the authority to do it. And he's told you that you can bring it into captivity to who? To the obedience of Jesus Christ. What? To the obedience of the word of God, the word of Christ. Jesus Christ is the word of God incarnate. So when you speak the word to that stronghold, it has to obey. When you have a relationship with God in Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ is living within you, when you have given yourself over to the Lord God, Jesus Christ, then you have power and authority over the enemy, because you do not have to listen to his arguments. You don't have to accept the high thoughts that he says that's against God's word and God's knowledge. You don't have to do that, because now you have the power through the word of God to effectively speak the word to him and cast him down, rebuke him, and put him away from you. Not through yourself, but because of the work that Jesus Christ has done for you. He's already done. The devil has to obey. Demonic spirit has to obey Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Word and the Son of God, and Jesus Christ's name is above every name on the face of the earth. Devils, demons have names. The Lord Jesus Christ's name is the higher authority over every name on the face of the earth. So therefore, when you speak the Word of God, when you speak the name of Jesus Christ, devils, demonic spirits, foul spirits, demons have to bow their knee to Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That includes those strongholds that are in your life. But you have to speak the word, you have to know the word, and you have to live the word. And when you do that, God and Christ has already given you authority over these spirits. And you can exercise that authority through Christ Jesus. Now, since we are in a war, no man will go to war without the proper equipment, without having guns, knives, Teflon, they have cannons, they have everything to fight with. And then they also teach you how to fight hand to hand. Now, in Ephesians 6, the Lord tells us in Ephesians 6 and 10, he says, through Apostle Paul, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. First thing, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, we have to put on the whole armor of God. You notice he said the whole armor. Now, we're going to get into these various parts of the armor, but he said the whole armor. That means you can't leave anything out. Why? Because we're coming against the mind or the thought processes or the strategies of the devil, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That tells you right there that he's using his mind against your mind. His strategies is against you to destroy you. But God's given us armor that we can stand against that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, when it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, it's absolutely true. We're wrestling against devils. We're wrestling against spiritual forces that is stronger than our flesh and blood. That's why we have to deal with the devil and demons through spiritual means. We cannot deal with strongholds using natural and carnal means. We will not win the battle or the war that way. It's impossible because we're dealing with a totally different realm than our carnal flesh and blood. Our carnal flesh and blood is basically for to live in this carnal realm. But it will not help you in the spirit realm. When you're dealing with strongholds, when you're dealing with devils and demons, when you're dealing with things from the spiritual realm, flesh and blood won't win. You have to get in the Lord. Now, it says, Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that's what it says, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. You say, he said it again, put on the whole armor of God, don't leave any of it out, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. The word of God is telling you that you're going to have an evil day. But when you have the evil day and you have on the whole arm of God, you will stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now I'm going to talk about this stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The truth that the word of God is talking about is the truth of the word of God. The truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the Lord. But your loins being girt, now your loins is like where your thigh and your pelvis join, and that's your motion. That's how you can move around and turn around. But also your loins also is in the area of your reproduction. And also of your expellation, you expel waste around your loin area. So what is that saying? Is that you should reproduce the good things of God, or reproduce more people in Christ like you, and at the same time, you should expel the negativity out of your life, the wastefulness, the waste out of your life. You're producing the good things in God, and you're getting rid of what you don't need. You're getting rid of foul things. You're getting rid of foul spirits. You're getting rid of demonic activity. You're getting rid of anything that's separating you from God by the truth. The truth will work this out, because when you have the truth of God working in your life, you're going to tell others about that, and what's going to happen, they're going to come to God. And so you're going to be what? Fruitful. And you're going to be fruitful and multiply. And that's what the Lord would have us to do. What did he tell Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. We should be fruitful and multiply, and the truth of God's word will do that. And at the same time, the truth of God's word will what? It will clean you. It will flush out impurities. What is not God? When you continue in the word of God, the truth of God's word, it will flush out impurities in your life, and at the same time, it will strengthen you and cause you to reproduce others like Christ. And it says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we know what a breastplate is, but this breastplate that they had back then, it protected you front and back. It protected you front and back. Not that we should be running from the Lord, from the devil. We shouldn't run from the devil, but run to the Lord. But the devil is a dirty fighter. He'll shoot you in the back. He does not care about shooting you in the back. But God has already taken care of that because he's given us the breastplate of righteousness. And this righteousness is not our righteousness, because our righteousness is as a filthy rag, something that should be thrown away. That's how our righteousness is to God. But this righteousness that we're speaking of in the Lord is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that he gave to us when he walked and when he lived, when he went up on the cross, when he died on the cross, when he was taken off the cross, when he was buried and resurrected on the third day. We have his righteousness that he gave to us. And so we have a full breastplate of righteousness, but we have to have it. We have to put it on. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, we have to study the word. We have to know the word. Mm-hmm. And we have to live the word. The word must be always in preparation in our hearts and in our mind, because the preparation of the gospel of peace also is what gives us the motivation or the locomotion and to carry that word out, to give it out to people. And so having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we can carry that to other people and have it good and truth and have it sharp, so we can give it out in any time that the Lord will have us to give that word out. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereof we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You notice it says to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Taking the shield of faith. I say faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's a shield. Now the Roman shield, just it you could stand, you could hide behind that shield. It was kind of made like a curved door, and you could actually hide behind that shield, and whatever the enemy is throwing at you, it won't come through that shield. But you have to have faith in that shield. So what are you having faith in? The shield, yes, but you're having the faith in God and Christ, that the enemy can't come through that. The enemy cannot penetrate. The enemy cannot do anything with God, Christ, the Holy Ghost. He can't do anything with that. He cannot destroy it. He can't come through it. So that means that we can have faith in God. And when we do, all the darts of the enemy will be quenched. And he's going to shoot some at you. He's going to shoot some at you. Now, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, when you take the helmet of salvation, that covers your head, but it's talking about covering your mind. You have to know who you are in God. You have to know the promises that God has given you. You have to know that he's given you protection, and you have to know that he has given you authority and power over the devil and all of his demons and all of his stronghold. And it says, and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, the sword of the Spirit, that is really our offensive weapon, according to the New Testament, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you can take that sword and come against the enemy, and you can knock him out of your life. You can knock him out of your life with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it's saying that we have to know the word, exercise the word, and use the word of God against the strongholds. But when we use the word of God against the strongholds, we also have to use prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for everybody. It works. It works. We're talking about destroying strongholds. Now, I'm going to read some of these strongholds to you. And strongholds basically is, when you really think about it, is sin. Practice sin, unconfessed sin, is sin. And many sins are directly associated with demons and devils. And that's what they are. So, but listen at this. Galatians 5 and 13 reads, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." You see, the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. And you won't do what you want to do. You cannot do the things that you would as far as pleasing God. "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now we're getting into strongholds, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's filthy, perverse, you're sexually unrestrained, that's what lasciviousness is, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, that is it's strife. Variance is strife, discord, and contention. That's various emulations, it's jealousies, and envy. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And you know, wrath is with anger and everything connected with anger. So you have wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Seditions is various divisions. Heresies heresies is false doctrines. False teachings, that's what heresies is. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, rebellions, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, because they're demonic strongholds. But listen to this. "But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-sufferance, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now, you notice, I read all these different strongholds, and that's basically what they are, and sins. But then after I read the various strongholds and sins, we have an antidote for that, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." These strongholds and all the things that I had mentioned before, these various sins, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all these things are connected to the flesh. But when you crucify the flesh, you also crucify the strongholds. When you crucify the flesh, you also crucify the strongholds. Now, how do you crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts? By the Spirit. By walking in the Spirit. Now, how do you walk in the Spirit? You walk in the Spirit by being in Christ Jesus, by studying His Word, by living His Word, and by walking in the Word. In other words, what I'm saying is, when you read the Word, when you study the Word, you don't just read it, but you live it. When you live it, then you crucify the flesh. And when you crucify the flesh, you destroy strongholds. And that's basically it. That's what you do. You live day by day in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, walking in the Word of God, and these various strongholds will break. They will break. They will break. Because the Word of God, Jesus Christ, destroyed all that stuff on the cross. He did. But it's not going to work for you if you don't take it, run with it, and apply it to your life and have faith in His Word and walk it out. You have to walk it out. Now, I'm going to read some other things to you now in the destruction of strongholds. It says, Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's James 4:7. Likewise, ye also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, the flesh, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:11. Now it says, submit to God, embrace defeat in your flesh. When old behaviors arise, immediately turn your attention to God and know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Know that he shows you your problems because he loves you. That's Philippians 4:13, Hebrews 12:6. Resist the devil. Take authority over the enemy. Renounce, rebuke, or reject the offending thoughts or spirits in Jesus' name. Pronounce that these sins are covered in the blood of Christ and no longer have power over you. That's Luke 10:19. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, Hebrews 9:13-14, 1 Corinthians 6:2, reckon it as dead. Know the structures were crucified with Christ and rejoice that by his stripes you were healed in those areas. Romans 6:11, Isaiah 53:5, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Then it says, occupy the land. That means walk in it. Claim who you are in Christ Jesus. Accept God's encouragement that he will complete the work in you. Galatians 3:26, Philippians 1:6. Walk in his ways. Abide in his presence daily to strengthen your spirit. Have regular quiet time with God and ask him to show you attacks before they come. John 10:27, John 15:4-5. And then he says, share your testimony of healing with others and ask them to hold you accountable if you return to your old ways. Revelations 12:11, Proverbs 13:1, Proverbs 17:10, and Proverbs 27:6. It says, avoid destructive lifestyles and bad influences. 2 Timothy 2:23-26. It says, talk it out with your brethren. Don't let things build up. James 5:16, 1 John 1:9, it says, accept responsibility. Stop blaming others. Genesis 3:11-12. Now, at that particular point, that's going to conclude our topic on destroying strongholds. So, therefore, we have a call-in number here, 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. You may call in. We have some minutes left. We have 6 minutes left. You may call in, and we will try to answer the questions that you have. And while you're deciding to call in, we're going to continue to talk on some things, and we're going to bring out some destructive and common strongholds while we're waiting. It said the first stronghold is one of the most popular and devastating strongholds to have is an incorrect image in your mind of who God is and how he sees us. People who see God as a taskmaster live their lives with an unhealthy fear of God. There's a good kind of fear of God, which is more like a holy respect for him, but there's another kind of fear that is very unhealthy that the enemy wants us to have. And it's the kind of fear where we see God as a taskmaster. master. Cruel, cold, distant, uncaring, and would snap the whip at us the moment we step out of line. People who are afraid they've committed the unpardonable sin are almost guaranteed to have this stronghold. People who find it hard to feel God's love and presence often have this stronghold too. If you feel God is distant and cold, or question if God loves you, then you need to get this stronghold torn down. The second one, where you see yourself incorrectly. People who suffer from this have a hard time seeing the new person that they are now in Christ Jesus, and often suffer from low self-esteem. They don't understand what Christ did for them and how it applies to their own life. Common symptoms of this stronghold are guilt feelings, question if you really been forgiven of your sins, low spiritual esteem, they feel like sinners, not saints. They lack spiritual confidence that we are supposed to have in Christ Jesus. They may still struggle with sin. Jesus said that if you keep in his word, which tears down strongholds, you will be free from the power of sin, the power sin has over you. That's John 8:31-34. And overall, say you don't feel worthy spiritually and lack the joy of the Lord in your life. If you even remotely struggle with this stronghold, the teaching Forgiven Sinner or Saint is an absolute must read. Well, we thank the Lord for the house to tear down the stronghold. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are birth and dwell in deception, which are lies and false beliefs. So naturally, the cure is to bring the truth and God's word on the scene. You debunk the lies of the enemy with the truth, which is the word of God. The Bible says that our weapons are mighty for the tearing down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is our primary offensive weapon? The sword of the Spirit. Yeah. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, amen. That basically brings our destruction of strongholds to a close. We're going to end this with prayer. And we're going to attempt to tear down some strongholds. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your spirit, and we thank you for your deliverance power. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come against the various strongholds in the listener's life. We tear them down right now by the word of God. We rebuke them right now in the name of Jesus. We come against them, we bind them up, and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Various strongholds of the stronghold of adultery and fornication, we bind it up, we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Witchcraft, idolatry, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, we bind them up, we plead the blood of Jesus, we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we destroy that stronghold. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, rebelling, we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, with that being said, receive that. Go to your word, study the word of God, live that word, believe that word, have faith in that word, and grow strong in that word, and you will have complete victory over the stronghold that once had you bound. Praise God, you listeners, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we'll be getting back with you next Friday. Look forward to giving you the message that God will give us. You be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Praise the Lord, amen and amen.